Home, we are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, for AM 1570. Set a place on your dial. Subscribe to us. I should probably say a whole lot more of that. And I should probably promote our damn tech service because Luke's on it 24/7. He's there. It's all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing. I did have Bill Cole on the show last week talking Northern Lights. This week, we just talked business off the air, but I got to get a mug from him and do it all upright. But everybody knows Bill Cole and our relationship and our relationship with Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, bringing back to life our tech service. And people are digging it. It's sort of resuscitated in the modern world. Luke is the one doing that. So when you get the little jiggle in your, don't hear my voice, hear his voice. Hear the central South Central Pennsylvania via Essex accent, not the Dundalk goof, when you get that. And Bill Cole said to me, can we make Cole Roofing less character so we give Luke more characters to write more loquacious things? But the text gods do not allow that. So they're always short, sweet, succinct, and always brought to you by Cole Roofing. Also, our Maryland Crab Cake Tour's out on the road on Friday. We're at Mama's on the Half Shell. Finally, I've returned to Owings Mills. We will be there courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs. These smell lucky, even though they don't have scented holiday tickets. I was very disappointed to hear that. But John Martin showed up this week after the Guardians were eliminated. John Martin from the Maryland Lottery showed up this week after the Deshaun Watson thing and all that, knowing that he's one of the Browns guys. I've had a lot of Browns folks on this week. Michael Regei sends his regards. David Zastittle sends his regards. Could not join us this week. But Munch Bishop is here. Daryl Ryder. My Cleveland Mafia. I actually, Luke Jones, I want to tell you, I hit Mike Polk Jr., who does the Cleveland tourism. And I got the right phone number on him because I got some insiders because I'm a tell Chad I'm a real journalist. And I text Mike Polk and I haven't heard back. And I'm a little disappointed because he's like doing grown-up stuff. Like he does, like he's on TV now and like does maybe not even comedic bits, but more like serious bits because they got a stadium issue that's a dumpster fire there, a complete dumpster fire. They have a franchise that's a dumpster fire. And here come the Ravens in. We're just expecting this to be 42-9 by halftime, right?
I mean, it very well could be.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, we know how this Ravens offense specifically is playing and has played from week three on. Not that it was awful in week one or week two, but the 0-2 start had a lot of people raising red flags and at least maybe reaching for the panic button, if not pushing the panic button. But yeah, you look at this game and you see a Ravens team that is red hot. Has won five in a row, is tied with Pittsburgh for first place in the AFC North, is getting lots of flowers now around the league in terms of whether they're the best team in the league, whether Lamar Jackson's the MVP favorite at this point, he is, whether Derrick Henry will break the all-time rushing record, albeit in a 17-game schedule. I don't think he will, but he's on that kind of pace right now, and
Dude,
he's
had
been
I
that
known
good.
this, I would have spent the $33 on the Oiler Derrick Henry jersey. I'd be wearing it right now. You almost look like you're wearing a little bit. You're somewhere in that, teal range there. But, it's been a fun week for me to spike the ball. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, I've got the tweet. That's all, you know what I mean? And it's in the
Guess.
arsenal. It what?
Well,
Everybody's in the friggin' prediction business about predicting this and predicting that. I
I don't
sat
know,
here and
sir, but
spiked the ball for two trading deadlines, and everybody in Cleveland's asking me this week, who's Eric DaCosta going to trade for this year? And it only begs that if this would have gone down last year for whatever, they would have had the bag of donuts they'd had to give it away in cap hit. That, I'm just saying. They could have used Derrick Henry back on Baltimore soil at the end of January. And
you do know they tried to get him, right? I mean,
okay.
we've talked about this. Yeah. Anyway, at the point I was making, all these things going so well for the Ravens, everything going so horribly for the Browns. I mean, right down to their $230 million guaranteed quarterback who was playing terribly, tearing his Achilles, fans cheering, players taking shots at fans after the game. I mean, just a completely toxic situation
By
there.
the way, and them trying to get a stadium done too. Like on
Sure,
top of all of
sure,
that.
sure, sure.
They've got a tailgating mess there with cops
Right.
and stuff. Like it's insane what's going on there.
There's so much going wrong in the city of Cleveland as it pertains to the Cleveland Browns and whether they're not going to be playing downtown anymore with a new stadium out in the suburbs. But I think this is still a game that concerns me more than everything we just laid out. It concerns me more than that because you're talking about the Ravens on a short week. You're talking about a Ravens team that is banged up right now. Marlon Humphrey, while he avoided a serious knee injury, very much his status is up in the air. Zay Flowers, we saw Zay Flowers hurt his ankle in the first play of the second quarter. Now, he played through it, but whenever you have that kind of a situation, how does it feel when you stop playing? How does it feel the next day? How's it feeling 2 days later? So his status is at least a little iffy. You have Nate Wiggins, who late in the third quarter, you could even see, landed on his left shoulder awkwardly. He did not leave the game, ended up playing a career high in snaps, but that's a shoulder that's been bothering him a little bit. He's missed time this week. Travis Jones, who did not see when he hurt his ankle specifically, but go back and look, he barely played in the second half. And when he did, he didn't look like the Travis Jones we've been talking about all year in terms of maybe being the Ravens' best defensive lineman, even over Matt Ebike. So the Ravens are banged up, and you have a Cleveland team that, let's be clear, I'm not going to sit here and try to pump up a 1-6 team. Their record, what they've done speaks for itself. But they have a new quarterback in Jameis Winston, a guy who I know in New Orleans and other places, say what you want about his play on the field, has typically been a guy that's been popular with teammates. I think you go back and look at his history. Yes, he's someone who's thrown 30 interceptions in a season. He's also thrown 33 touchdowns in a season. He did that in the same year. So you're talking about someone who is not shy about throwing the ball around the field against a pass defense that, as I just said, could be banged up. And a pass defense that has not been very good. So
I think
you
he's a
have.
capable backup.
Sure.
He's not a guy that doesn't give you a chance to win on any given day because he's got all the skills. He's smarter than he's ever been. He's trying to be more grown up. And I was going to jump in when I had my stadium thing and say, you got Jameis Winston now, not only leading your franchise, but literally shaming the fans and being the grown up in the room and speaking kindly about Deshaun Watson and maybe not, maybe a little over the top in some ways on the character side of things. But that's just weird. I mean, and Flacco lifting the team last year, Winston's a 1-1. I mean, well, it's a ceiling guy with all the skills and all of that stuff. Not as banged up because he hasn't been subjected to abuse because he's been a little bit of a backup at this point. When I see guys like Geno Smith and Sam Darnold and these guys maybe halfway figure it out, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of any good, but I'm saying they almost beat the Bengals the other day with nothing. Like they were in the game and he gave him a better chance to win than the other guy did. And I think he does. And I think, if they just put jerseys on them and there weren't contracts and allegations and all the other stuff going on, Winston probably would have won the job if it was just about football players there, right here and now. So they're probably a better team this week than they were last week, despite all the crud.
And keep in mind, Nick Chubb's back. He'll be another week back on the roster. Of course, had that awful knee injury early in the 2023 season. And the other factor is they have a new play caller, Kevin Stefanski, who has been calling the plays for the Cleveland Browns. And we didn't spend a lot of time talking about this, but I mean, you had this Cleveland team, and you mentioned Flacco, and I don't want to get too much into the Flacco thing because there's a lot of meat on the bone that it's not related to Joe Flacco and what he did last year for Cleveland, but he leaves. Their offensive line coach leaves. They make a change. They bring in Ken Dorsey. They change their offense. I mean, this is not the offense they ran last year that allowed Joe Flacco to come in and outplay what Deshaun Watson was doing and play at a high enough level that he helped lead that team to the playoffs. So you have a new play caller who's actually calling plays for his system rather than the head coach calling plays for a new system, which, ask anyone in Cleveland. Look, Deshaun Watson, and I've said this, I have no reason to mince words about Deshaun Watson. He's awful this year, just absolutely awful. But he's not the only thing that was awful about the Cleveland offense. I mean, their offensive line has been banged up, has not been as good as it was. I mean, you think back 2, 3 years ago, the reputation that was that Cleveland had one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, and it has not played like that this year. They've been missing Wyatt Teller, their Pro Bowl right guard, although he was designated to return this week, I don't know if we're going to see him on the field Sunday, but he's at least practicing. So you have all these different changes on the Cleveland side. And I will say this, even though that defense has not performed at an elite level like it did last year, it is still a very talented defense. It still has Myles Garrett. It still has Za'Darius Smith. It still has Denzel Ward out on the outside. So it's not as though this defense has been stripped of talent and is a shell of what it used to be. It's underperformed at times, but it's still a very talented defense. Now, let me be clear when I say that. If the Ravens come in firing on all cylinders the way that they have in recent weeks, no, I don't think this Cleveland defense is going to be able to do much other than maybe, get a couple stops here and there. But my point is, with all of these factors, short week for the Ravens, a road game following a Monday night road game, historically, that's a tough circumstance for any team, not the Ravens, but just in a general sense. You do have a Ravens team that's banged up right now, including some really key guys. Again, are they going to play on Sunday or not? We'll have to see. You'll certainly be following the WNST text service as we'll send out, any notable injury report and then game day inactives on late Sunday morning. But you have that, and then you have these changes on the other side. Look, is Jameis Winston going to turn around the Cleveland Browns this year? Absolutely not. Is Jameis Winston capable of playing some good games here or there? Does he have the arm talent and the ability that, as you pointed out, made him a 1-1 once upon a time? And it's not like he's 39 years old, like Joe Flacco, even. He's, Jameis Winston's what? He's 30.
Yeah, I figured 30 is what I was going to call him. 30, maybe 31.
He's 30. He was born in 1994. So there you go. He'll be 31 in January. So we're not talking about someone who should be broken down physically. He's made a total of just a few starts over the last 3 years. So his body is in ideally, pretty good shape. So my point in saying all this is not to drum up a lot of fear about this game, but it is to be alert about this game if you're the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh even talked about this on Wednesday. When you're talking about facing a veteran quarterback who, yes, you might have some tape on, and yes, once upon a time back in 2018, the Ravens faced Jameis Winston when he was still the starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was one of Lamar Jackson's first starts. So that was 6 years ago. I don't know how much you can take from that. I mean, do you go back in the archives and look at what your scouting reports and tendencies said about Jameis Winston? Well, this is Jameis Winston that's older, has been a backup, including behind what, Drew Brees? And so, it's just a weird game in that way because you have that factor. And then you have Ken Dorsey, who I know was canned in Buffalo a year ago and things did not end well there. But this is a guy who's been part of some successful offenses in the past, and now he's going to be calling the plays, which, if you kind of think about the hierarchy of how Cleveland handled everything, probably should have just been calling the plays from Jump Street this year. So, do I think that would have made Deshaun Watson look like what Deshaun Watson was supposed to look like? What he looked like 5 years ago? No, but so it's a weird set of circumstances. So, the Ravens just need to be on alert. Start fast. This is a team, to your point, with all the toxicity, with the fan base and how they felt about Deshaun Watson, how they feel about this team right now, how they feel about the organization and the stadium issue, all of those things. This is a fan base that probably wants to turn on the team on
Oh,
Sunday
I don't think there's any
afternoon.
question,
Once,
dude. I mean,
right.
you've walked into that stadium a handful of times. I've walked into that city
Right.
dozens. Like, I mean, I've been there for everything. World Series games, big wins, big. I was there when they ripped the seats out of the stadium and when the team's coming here. So, I mean,
Right.
I was there for Elway Drive. I walked out of there. So, I mean,
So,
I know how they are, and I think that, dude, I've talked to all sides this week out in Northeast Ohio. And the one thing about them that's weird, and when I talk to everyone about it, I'm like, why don't you guys like the Guardians more, or why aren't people more pissed at the Browns that it doesn't look like the 81 Colts, where there's just 14,000 people showing up and just flaming middle fingers and saying, sell the team, let's get this criminal out, free the birds, whatever it is. And I don't know, but they buy the tickets, they show up, They show up maybe just to boo. I mean, I don't expect 20,000 empty seats. They're 1-6. Most places, nobody would come anymore. Miami, nobody's there. Arizona, nobody's there. And I'm, bringing up some venerable franchises, nobody might be there. The Cowboys are 1-6. Nobody will be in Denver. Dallas, that's a big myth that everybody comes and sees the Cowboys. Easiest stadium in the league to get a ticket in, usually, right? The Browns fans have had 30 years of this. You and I talk so much about the Orioles and empty seats and what Katie Griggs has to deal with and Yankees, Dodgers. We're going to watch that all, two of those before we even get to play on Sunday, as well as morning football and Thursday night football and everything else that we're going to watch. I would just say this, nobody's had it worse than Browns fans. They had their team stolen from them. The team that came back was legendarily awful. And now they've got this crooked owner bringing in this awful human and even managing to piss Bisciotti off in front of me, pissing off all of his partners. And now the kid's got an ACL and the fans cheered it. I mean, if I'm Hunter S. Thompson writing the script on this 2.5 years ago when Chad said, I'm not a media guy, and Bisciotti's flamed out about, I can't believe they. I mean, Bisciotti was the one that popped off about the money and the guaranteed part of the money. And this is like, if you were to write a script of everything that could go wrong, oh, and they're trying to get a stadium too. Let's add that in. And the city hates him, and the state hates him, and it's Ohio, so nobody is going to get anything done from Columbus or Cincinnati to get them a stadium. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what a steaming, flaming bag for the fans, for the people who buy into this. And they're going to show up, but Jameis Winston fades back to pass, gets stripped, Van Noy, touchdown. Kyle Hamilton's dancing in the end zone. It's 6-0. 3 minutes in, minute and a half in, or Lamar goes dink, dank, dunk, and Mark Andrews is spiking the ball, and it's 6-0. It's over. Like, I've seen it. So it's a while. You want to go? I mean, I got nothing else to do Sunday. I mean, my back's good. I mean, pick up Bernard McKinney. I mean, to me, it's almost theater. For what it is for the league, this Baltimore Cleveland thing, because this is pretty rock bottom. It really is. For the franchise there, I mean, where's rock bottom? I don't know. $80 million cap hit the next couple years, trying to get a stadium done. Everybody hates the owner. They have no prayer for a quarterback. And to your point, you had a decent team. The rest of the team, not awful, even though they're trading away players and whatnot, right?
Yeah, well, the point I was trying to make, though, is don't give them any reason for hope. Don't allow Jameis Winston to hit Jerry Jeudy because the Ravens have a breakdown in coverage, as they're apt to do, and they're up 7-0, and then you turn the ball over early on, and suddenly it's 10-0. Now, if that happens, no, the Ravens shouldn't press the panic button. Doesn't mean the Ravens won't win the game. Doesn't mean the Ravens won't win the game by four touchdowns, because we saw them fall down 10-0 against Tampa Bay, and we saw how that turned out. But my point with this is, because of these circumstances, because of how toxic the variables had been and continue to be, but specifically with Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, yeah, I mean, he was one of the players that was critical of how the fans reacted to the Watson Achilles injury. At the same time, this is a fan base that's been clamoring for Jameis Winston to be playing over Deshaun Watson for the last 7 weeks. So if he leads Cleveland to a touchdown drive on their opening drive, and they have an early lead, and the thing you have to remember, and you know this from all the people that you talk to in Cleveland, they still hate the Ravens. They still hate Baltimore. So if there's a scenario where the Ravens start slowly here and Cleveland jumps out to 7-0 lead, something along those lines, you don't want to give them any hope. That's the only point I'm making here. I'm picking the Ravens to win this game. Let's be clear. This isn't Luke sounding the alarm and trying to be a contrarian because everyone's going to pick the Ravens to win in a blowout. The Ravens are far more likely to win in a blowout than the Browns are to win by three, right? I mean, that's how I feel about this. But because it is a different quarterback, because it's a new, not offensive coordinator, but new play caller, because it's just a team that, to your point, is not completely devoid of talent, especially on the defensive side. It's still a very viable defense. And you have a quarterback that, look, I'm not going to sit here and say Jameis Winston's a top 20 quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. He, by right, is a backup or should be a backup. Or if he would be a starter, he'd be one of the lesser starters in the NFL. But Deshaun Watson was playing that poorly that the benchmark, the standard is not that high for him to clear to be an upgrade over Deshaun Watson. So, look, they traded Amari Cooper. They still have Jerry Jeudy. They have David Njoku. We've seen Njoku make plays against the Ravens, right? I mean, he's capable, even if he's someone who struggles to stay on the field. So I'm just laying out the variables here, the circumstances here that the Ravens need to go handle business and not mess around here. They need to start fast. But there are some circumstances here that make you at least take some pause. Short week, like I said, Ravens have some key players banged up. You know, whether they're going to play or not, are they going to be 100%? So just watch out for that. And as I said, from a preparation standpoint, it's weird. What Cleveland tape offensively do you go back and watch, right? I mean, is watching Deshaun Watson, knowing how horrible he was this year, is that really telling you a whole lot? I mean, okay, you can watch the offensive line play and you can watch the receivers run routes and all that. But in terms of getting a feel for what Jameis Winston's going to do, okay, will the preseason tell you much? Do you go back and watch tape from New Orleans or Tampa? I mean, those are different systems, right? So it's a tricky preparation week, right? A short week
Well, I would think
and
Jameis Winston comes
changes.
in there and says, here's the 12 plays I want to run. Here's the things I'm good at.
Sure.
Here's the things that I think we can do. They're a different offense without Amari Cooper, dude. You know what I mean? So,
Sure.
like, you just talk about the fire sale, and you and I will do a whole other segment on the Ravens and trading deadline and where the Ravens could get help or need help and where their problems are and solving them beyond DNPs. But I would say this. Winston's going to come in there this week. They're going to look different. You mentioned Chubb. You mentioned their offensive line problems. You know, Winston's a big boy. He doesn't like getting sacked. He's been in a lot of meeting rooms and a lot of helmets with a lot of offensive coordinators and a lot of suboptimal talent around him at various points, as well as some good talent in other places. But he's no dumb cookie. I mean, really, you know, whatever you think of Jameis Winston, Belichick, these people keep taking chances and saying, when I hear them talk about his potential and saying, if I had him, if I could do this, well, Stefanski's a little bit of a genius in being there and giving up the reins. All of that's a little bit weird. And I talked to the Cleveland guys this week. Who wants off the boat and who wants on the boat and who's planning to get traded this week to be Roquan Smith and saying, maybe the Chiefs will want me this week. I mean, the Chiefs needed wide receivers. They went and got help. Buffalo, I mean, these teams are going and getting help. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for the Ravens. And we can talk about that. But there's still a lot to play for if you're Jameis Winston. And there's probably within the framework of that locker room, and you mentioned at the top, Jameis Winston's been popular where he's been, you know, including in college, right? Where he won a lot of games and helped a lot of coaches make a lot of money. I would just say for him being in there this week, if they lock the noise out to some degree about all the crap we're talking about and just say we almost beat Cincinnati last week and we're a team, they're a team, they're coming in, they're banged up. Here's the X's and O's. I like it better with Cooper, you know, if they're like a full team, but they're 1-6. Everybody wants off the boat. I'm wondering who's in and who's out, but I also have seen teams sort of nut up here, to your point, and be like, you know, let's stay in the game. Let's make their kicker make a kick. Let's make their player make a play. Let's get them into third down and have to make a play. But we got to tackle Derrick Henry. And when you mention things that have gone wrong for the Ravens, because the Browns, all the Cleveland, I was on Kenny Rhoda's show. You'll hear that, or you can find out at Baltimore Positive. And he asked me, "What's made the Ravens so good the last 5 weeks that they weren't the first two?" And I'm like, well, the offensive line wasn't very good in the beginning, and they really weren't sure what to do with Voorhees and who this Rosengarten guy was, and they had all sorts of penalties, and Ronnie Stanley couldn't line up. And well, how did they lose to the Raiders? And I'm like, well, as I kind of remember it, Max Crosby just sort of wrecked the game to some degree, and Gardner Minshew wrecked the other side of the game. But I thought to myself, Myles Garrett, if you have a game wrecker and you plan around that, he only has to make two or three or four plays. Right. I mean, just need to make the play at the right time. And This is always dangerous. These division games, go back. I get all the gambling numbers. By the way, Mike Warren's coming out to Mama's on the Half Show. He's now 82 years old. So we'll do the numbers. We'll break it all down. All the stuff that Terry Bradshaw does now in the middle of the games. But I would just say this is a, I keep my money off this game to some degree, no matter what the number is, because it's a little icky. I'm with you. It's a little icky the more you talk about it.
I just think, look, I think it is a very small, tenuous window that they have to make this a game and to have a shot to beat this team because the Ravens are just that good, right? Even on defense, we've talked about this. It's so up and down, but I don't think their pass defense is devoid of talent, right? I still think they have very capable football players, even on the back end of the defense. Maybe not so much at safety, other than Hamilton. I think Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson just have not been very good. So you always have that. But I think Cleveland's window for keeping this a game, giving, being on upset alert, doing all those things that, frankly, I mean, we've seen the Browns do. And the Browns did this in Baltimore last year. And weird things happen. The Ravens turn the ball over. They, just some fluky things happen. And Deshaun Watson actually looked like a real quarterback in the second half. Is Jameis Winston capable of doing that for a half of football and giving them a chance? Sure. So,
Yeah, 8.5 on the road, I don't need it. From a
I
gambling
mean, it's just,
standpoint, I don't need it. I don't
I
need
mean,
any action on this game
and
this
let me,
week.
right. And let me be clear. If the Ravens win by 40 on Sunday, I'm
I'm
not
not
going to be
shocked.
remotely surprised by that. Not at all. Not at all. But again, there's just a little, there's a or a few too many weird variables at work here where, like I said, start fast, play clean football early on, and I think they'll quit. Right. I mean, I really do. And Jameis Winston, for everything we just said, complimentary. This is a guy who's thrown 99 interceptions over the last 10 years. I heard a stat. I think it was on NFL Network Radio on Sirius. So if this stat is wrong, blame them. But they said that since Jameis entered the league in 2015, he's thrown more interceptions than anyone. Think about how crazy that is because he hasn't been a starter that entire time. So he's thrown 99 interceptions over the last 10 years, and that's including him barely being a starter over the last 5
Starters don't
years.
remain starters by
Well,
throwing
and that's part of it
interceptions.
too, right? I mean, you have a 30
That's the
interception
reason he's
season.
not a starter.
Right. I mean, he had a 30 intercept a 33 touchdown, 33 interception season with Bruce Arians as his head coach. Well, that's why the Bucs went out and signed a 44-year-old Tom Brady at that
By
point in
the way,
time.
for all the people on the internet that think like I hate the Ravens at this point, this is where I could be the prick and the coach killer and say, "Yeah, no problem. They don't catch the ball when you throw it at them anyway." Right? I mean, that's part of the gig. Part of the gig is he's going to throw you a couple. Catch him.
He's going to throw
Catch him.
absolutely. I mean, even if he's playing well and even if he's making some plays, yeah, he will throw you a couple. So you better catch him. So again, am I gravely worried about this game? No, of course not. I mean, come on, we're talking about a red hot Ravens team against a 1-6 Browns team, but it is a short week. You are a little, not a little banged up. You're pretty banged up. I mean, this is probably going to be the most crowded, most interesting injury report they've had in terms of prominent players. And that doesn't mean they're, that all of them are missing. It might be all but Marlon Humphrey end up playing on Sunday, or, maybe Travis Jones, who, the ankle seems like that's an issue this week. I'm not sure we're going to see him, but, they're banged up, short week, new starting quarterback for the opposition who has played very little football over the last 3 years, and has not, when he did play, he was with other teams and other offenses, and you have a different play caller who probably is looking at this, if you're Ken Dorsey privately, you're probably looking at this and saying, well, my job is probably cooked because there's going to be some fall guy here. And they just extended Kevin Stefanski. They gave him a contract extension earlier this year, which I don't know if that means the, end all be all that Jimmy Haslam wouldn't make a change, but someone's going to take the fall on the coaching side. I'm guessing Ken Dorsey's a pretty high candidate on that list. So he might say, you know what? We're going to leave it all out there. We know this secondary is vulnerable. We're going to run a lot of trick stuff. We're going to do a lot of misdirection. We're going to try to get Nick Chubb involved. And, Tampa was able to run the ball on them a little bit last week. So, again, I think Cleveland's window is so fleeting, so tenuous here, so small for them to stay in this game and make this a 60-minute game and make this a close game in the fourth quarter. But if the Ravens, for whatever reason, don't come out and start fast and play the brand of football that we've seen them play, specifically on the offensive side, which has been explosive, but also very clean. Zay Flowers lateral notwithstanding, in the second half of Monday night's game, then no. Cleveland's defense is good. Is it so good to stop the Ravens' offense? Not consistently, I don't think. I'm not sure that there's a defense in football right now that can stop this offense. So it comes down to maximizing your possessions, taking care of the ball, getting touchdowns inside the red zone, which they have done, and they've done at a very high rate. And defensively, you got to play smart. Don't blow any coverages. Play clean football. Keep them in front of you. Do all the things that we've been talking about them doing. And they did it in the second and third quarter against Tampa Bay. But don't be in a position where you're giving up a big play early. Don't give them hope. That's the theme for me. Don't give this Cleveland team or this fan base any hope on Sunday. Jump out to an early lead. If it's the Ravens jumping out to a 10-0 lead, this game will be over by halftime, probably. With the caveat knowing that the Ravens give up garbage time yards and will probably make it look closer than it actually was, which is what happened in the Tampa game. So it's nothing that complex, but just be sharp, right? Go out and play your brand of football and don't do anything that gives them hope. That fan base wants to boo that team at this point in time. That team is 1-6. They know they're done. These guys, some of them are playing for jobs, other guys can be playing bit. Making business decisions. And other guys like Za'Darius Smith, for example, can be looking to get out of Dodge,
He'll be
right?
on another team
Maybe
next
you're
week.
traded to a contender. Maybe the Ravens. I'm guessing the Ravens would love to have Za'Darius Smith back. I'm guessing Cleveland won't trade him to a division rival, but the Ravens would certainly be looking for another edge guy. I think that's the kind of the under I wrote about this at BaltimorePositive.com. As much as we've been focused on the secondary, and yes, you look at the Ravens pass rush and you say, well, they're fourth in the NFL in sacks. Well, I'll say this. Go look at the pressure rate. Pressure rate across multiple sources is middling at best. And okay, they're fourth in sacks, but think about their opportunity set. Teams have dropped back to throw against them more than anyone else in the NFL, right? I mean, they've had so many chances to rush the passer. So when you think about it through that in that context, pass rush isn't as impressive. It's been a little too feast or famine. And I thought that was the case even on Sunday night. They got a few sacks, but there were also times where they did not get a consistent pressure. So, I don't think it's
Well,
going
and
to be
they don't want to be
Za'Darius Smith because I
settled
don't
into
think the
playing coverage
Browns.
either, right? Like, without a pass
Sure.
rush, Jameis Winston will beat you. You give a quarterback
I mean,
time. You give a quarterback time.
he
To
can.
me, that's, well, he could also throw a pick too, to your point. But
Right. And that's
in a
my point.
general
He can
sense,
make plays.
better to sack him or
He can
make him
make
dirt the
plays.
ball than to extend a play with him. You want to shorten the
No
play.
question.